Thank you. Good day, friends. Isn't it a wonderful thing that you and I can sit down day after day and just open up the Word of God and think about the marvelous provision God has made for men and women? As I have been reveling in this 8th chapter of Romans, I can't help but bow my heart and life and head before the Lord and believe exactly what He says in spite of my feelings. The wonderful thing to know that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. To know we have been delivered once for all forever from the law of sin and the law of death. To know we're no longer seen in the flesh, controlled, dominated by the flesh, but we're in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of Christ dwell in us. The very fact that we are in the Savior ought to fill us with joy unspeakable. And as I realize these things, what a challenge to you and to me to walk continually before God so that His will and His purpose may be accomplished in us. Instead of being bothered about the power of sin, the enemy, this tyrant of sin, we've been delivered from its power through our identification with Christ. We think of the bondage of the law in chapter 7 to think that God has set us free from the law and brought us to Himself. And then to realize that we're in Christ and Christ is in us. I just love that 9th verse. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is under the sentence of death because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. This is what we were dealing with in our last lesson. I want this very clearly understood. Every believer is seen by God in the Spirit. And friend, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. And again, may I say, please, please, do not tell some dear soul who has put their trust in the Savior. They don't know very much about it, but they know that Christ has saved them. Please don't tell them that they have not yet received the Spirit of God. This is not true. If that person does not have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, he's none of His, doesn't belong to God. No, the moment one accepts the Savior, we're not only born of the Spirit, but we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. The indwelling Spirit is there, every believer. And this is where we live. But Mr. Mitchell, I feel God. That isn't alter the fact this is where you live. You live in the Spirit. Now the exhortation is to walk in the Spirit, like you have it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and Galatians chapter 5, 25. If by the Spirit you live, then by the Spirit walk. Now we come down to verse 10 and 11. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Will you please notice this? If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now let me again say, the body is under the sentence of death because of sin. He's having the contrast. The Spirit is life because of righteousness, His righteousness. For where Christ is, there must be life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In me is life. In Him is life. Because I live, you shall live also. We are in the sphere where the Spirit dominates. That's where we live. In the Spirit. Hence, life. Now the body, and I should say a word here, the body is not yet redeemed. I needn't propound that. The body is dead because of sin. We all know that. We know that the body dies. We know the body sins. The body has lusts. The body does things we don't want it to do. We try to live for God, and behold, the body does something else. This is true. But, and we're going to see in verses 12 and 13, you owe the flesh nothing. All it gave us was trouble. But now we come to verse 11, where it says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. And he just said that in verse 9. Then he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, here is the hope that God has given to us. The body is yet to be made alive. Now remember, verse 10, the body is under the sentence of death because of sin. But there's a time coming when our bodies are going to be transformed and they're going to be freed from death. And you and I, if we're Christians, have already in us the Spirit that is going to quicken our bodies, going to transform our bodies. The body, the Spirit of God, will never leave us until our bodies are transformed and made like unto His. What I'm trying to get to you is this. We already have in us not only the power of resurrection, but the power that's going to change our bodies. Verse 10 says we're under the sentence of death because of sin, but we have in us the Spirit of God, the Spirit of resurrection. We have the hope that one of these days our bodies are going to be made alive. In other words, our bodies are going to be freed from the sentence of death. And this will be in God's own time. Allow me again to quote those wonderful passages. In Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, where the Apostle Paul said to the Thessalonian church, we do not sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go ahead of those who are asleep. Now listen, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now that's those who are dead, the Christians who have died. Their bodies have been buried, gone back to dust. The power of God is going to raise them from the dead and glorify them. That doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, and we who are alive and remain, we who are on this earth with bodies that are still under the sentence of death, are going to be freed from that sentence of death, and the body is going to be emancipated and made immortal and be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So the dead saints are raised and glorified, and the living saints are changed and glorified and caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, to be forever with the Lord. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, allow me to quote again from chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now he has just been speaking before this about different kinds of bodies, different kinds of, there are bodies celestial and bodies terrestrial and so on. But now when you come to 51, I read, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we all shall be changed. This mortal, we who are alive, this mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible, those who are in the graves, shall put on incorruption. But we're all going to be changed. In fact, in Romans 8:29, we're going to be just like his son. 1 John 3:2, we're going to be just like Jesus. Oh, what a transformation. Do you mean to tell me, sir, that you already have in you the power that can change your body from mortal to immortal? That's right. And in the purpose of God, that's going to take place. And if I die and I'm buried and my body goes back to dust, then when the Lord Jesus comes, that body will be raised, changed, transformed, made incorruptible, made eternal, like the glorious body of Christ. This is the hope. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, I must say this. If we already have in us the power of resurrection, the power of transformation, cannot that same Spirit who indwells us control us now? Can he not give us daily deliverance from the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the weakness of the body? He's not talking about healing of the body in the sense of divine healing, sickness. He's talking about something far more transcendent than that. You and I, Christian friend, have already the power that's going to change and transform these bodies and make them like Christ's. We'll get that when we come to verse 18 through 24. But for the moment, we're dealing with this 11th verse. You and I already have in us the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. We already have in us the Spirit's going to transform our bodies. Now, my exhortation is this. If we have this Spirit that's going to change our bodies, already we have this Spirit, then cannot this Spirit, which can transform our bodies, control our bodies day by day? This is life in the Spirit. And you and I are the ones who must yield ourselves. It's up to us to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God who indwells us so that he will control these very bodies which are under the sentence of death. Now let me go down to the next two verses. And these next two verses have been a trouble to a lot of Christians. Therefore, brethren, now you have a climax, you have a therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die, or you are about to die. But if you through the Spirit do hold under the sentence of death the deeds of the body, you shall live. We owe the flesh absolutely nothing. The way of the flesh is the way of death. The body is under the sentence of death because of sin. The body has lust and sin in it. And we owe the flesh nothing. Remember, it is God who has saved us. God has justified us. He's pronounced us righteous. He's freed us from the law of sin and death. He's freed us from Adam's race, which is under death. He's freed us from the tyrant sin as a master. He's freed us from the law with its bondage. My, what we owe God. Yet, God does not take up what we owe him, but rather, we owe the flesh absolutely nothing. All the flesh does for you is to give you trouble. They that are in the flesh can't please God. The flesh, God has no confidence in anybody's flesh. And I'm repeating this, he has no confidence in your flesh, my flesh, or anybody else's flesh. The flesh is incurably bad. But as a Christian, God came and justified us, and he forgave us, and he put us in Christ. He indwelt us by his Spirit. He's given us the Spirit already of resurrection and glorification. He's given us the power that's going to transform us. Now, why don't we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God so he can control our bodies. He can give us the deliverance. He gets the victory. We enjoy the deliverance. Hence, we owe the flesh nothing. All the flesh can do is to produce death. Here you have the believer in the responsibility. I don't know how to put it, so you'll see it. The flesh is incurably bad, and until God changes it, it'll never be changed. You can fix it up. You can color it up. You can paint it and do anything you want to with it. Still, F-L-E-S-H. But we Christians. Now remember, the man out of Christ, the man of the flesh, dominated by the flesh, the man out of Christ, has nothing to show but sin. Rebellion against God. But the believer has in him the Spirit of God. That's going to change these bodies. We have in us the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Now we have that in Ephesians chapter 1 where Paul prays, we might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. Now Paul in Philippians chapter 3, 10 and 11 says, that I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. What do you mean, Paul? I want to experience my identification with Christ, not only in his death, not only in his sufferings, but in his resurrection life and power. And I say very bluntly, you and I have no excuse. I don't care what the sin is in your life, Christian friend. There is deliverance for you by the Spirit of God who indwells you. The trouble with us, folk, is we try to get deliverance on our own terms. Or we struggle. We set our wills and we set our chains. And we're going to get the victory. And instead of that, we're defeated and defeated and defeated. He wants us to trust the Spirit of God. The body is under the sentence of death. But we have in us the very Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The very Spirit that's going to take this body and transform it from a body under the sentence of death to an eternal, incorruptible, glorified body. And if you and I already have this power, there's nothing left for us to but to yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. We may enjoy life in the Spirit. And then he says, you owe the flesh nothing. All the flesh can produce is death. And we owe the flesh nothing. But if we, through the Spirit, do hold unto the sentence of death, the deeds of the body, hold it down how? By yieldedness to the Spirit of God who indwells us. Let him do it. Let him do it. My, how we have struggled and strained and prayed and fasted. What for? To get deliverance. And we didn't get deliverance until in our absolute helplessness we threw ourselves upon God for deliverance. And he got the victory and gave us the deliverance. Allow me to quote from Colossians 3, the first four verses. If you then be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, this is what we've been having in Romans 8. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. We're joined to an eternal Son of God. We have the hope of a body that's going to be changed, a body that's going to be fashioned like his glorious body. Wouldn't you like that to happen now? Wouldn't you like to have your body transformed and changed? You say, yes, I do. All right. If you believe that, then take the next verse. Hold under the sentence of death your body, the deeds of the body. The body wants to do things that do not glorify God. You want to do things that dishonor God and that hinder the work of the gospel in others' lives. Throw yourself upon God. Let God, the Spirit who lives in you, live out his life in and through you and me. This is what he wants. I say, my friend, a holy life without a controlled body is a contradiction. I'll repeat that. Before I do it, I remind you the flesh gave us nothing but trouble. And a holy life without a controlled body is a contradiction. We owe the flesh nothing. Now, God doesn't say, you owe me something. It's so obvious we owe everything to God. Justification, sanctification, glorification, eternal life. We owe the whole business to God. He doesn't remind us of that. All he wants you to exalt his Son in your life and my life. We owe the flesh nothing. We owe everything to God. Then let's live for God today. Now, as we take our next lesson, we're in a new relationship. We belong to a new family. We belong to a new race of people where all are eternal. You think again, read again that precious book, Romans chapter 8. The Lord bless you.